broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This, ladies and gentlemen, is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That's our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great solutions to peaceful restoration. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Now, a recap of Liberty Roundtable Live for yesterday starts now. We talked about the Supreme Court should rely on a, quote, living constitution. A new survey shows. Kevin Daley writes the piece. We say not. I don't agree with that. Again, there's provisions for change in the supreme law of the land, but let's study the intent of the founders. Let's really stick with the traditional viewpoint of the Constitution, not a living, breathing document that means nothing, folks. Be very careful with that deceptive lie. Justices nullify law that bans sports betting, clears way for sports betting across the country. Again, we feel several ways on this. I believe gambling is a moral evil. We shouldn't have it in America, ladies and gentlemen. But I also don't believe it's a federal government issue. There's no constitutional mandate or constitutional delegation for authority for the federal government to deal with gambling at all. So it's not a federal government issue. So I'm glad the justices put it back on the states. The 10th Amendment operable. The understanding that we got to nullify now is key. Nullification, a legitimate constitutional principle. The Supreme Court just proved it. However, that doesn't mean that I think states should enable gambling and promote gambling. And I hope each state's wise enough to have their citizens moral enough to get involved and reject this moral hazard in our society. So from a 10th Amendment point of view, I agree with the Supreme Court. From a morality point of view, I reject gambling. And the last thing I really want to say about this is I want the federal government not, I repeat, not to participate in the spoils of such a moral hazard. That's for sure. Former Senator Harry Reid, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. He had a surgery, even though he's attacked us and claimed we're terrorists, which that's a lie. We pray for him and hope that his surgery goes well, and we don't wish the pain and the struggles of cancer on anyone. And I hope his family finds peace and comfort. And I hope that good things happen for their family, and I hope the surgery goes well. That's how we pay Harry Reid back for his hostile attack against us. We'll pray for our enemies and those who literally commit slander and libel and such against us, dishonest representations. We're sad about that. We're also sad about the cancer. Poor Harry Reid struggling with, our prayers are with him. The Salt Lake Tribune lays off a third of its newsroom. And Kurt and I believe it's because of the stories they're covering. They have a very liberal, hostile bent towards the conservative viewpoints that we hold. And you know what? Folks aren't really liking it. Maybe they ought to change their reporting style and the stories they focus on. And maybe, just maybe, they'd get more readership if they did so. We talked about the gas price national average, $2.87 a gallon. That's up 53 cents from just a year ago. But you know what? It's because people have more jobs, folks. And therefore, there's more demand. Therefore, the gas price goes up. We also need to be very careful and think through and understand that, hey, governments have a gas tax and mandated gas blends, if you will. They have a summer gas blend that increases the cost big time. So by the time you put the government tax on and the mandated regulatory summer blend, that costs a bunch of money. However, I don't want to move towards a tracking my every mile or reading my odometer every year. Why don't we have tariffs at the borders? Why don't we have apportionment taxes that relate to the states and lay off the details that create direct taxes and spy on and monitor the people? We need to be very careful that we don't violate Fourth and Fifth and other amendment rights. We need to be very careful that we pay for the proper role of limited government, and we do it constitutionally. Second hour, Utah teens prepare for, quote, alternative queer prom, Logan, Utah, Associated Press. Now, I'm of the opinion that this is just a, they make it, you believe this is a student-led effort, and I don't really believe it. There's something wrong in the details there. Take an investigative reporter to go out and dig and find out. But I don't believe in Logan, Utah, one of the most conservative states, one of the most conservative cities, a very small area. I don't really believe they have an alternative queer prom with very many students going on. They make it sound like it's huge, that the students are leading it, that it's just organic, that it's, wow. They say it's the second annual queer prom going on in Logan, Utah. Something's not right when you dig into that story, folks. Just mark my words. Washington, D.C. has the highest rate of drug use and addictions of any state in the country, according to a Wallet Hub study. Now, understand that D.C. isn't even a state, right? They say drug addiction has become a pandemic in the United States, over 60,000 people dead in 2016 alone from drug abuse. Well, who's primarily responsible for that? The pharmacies? The physicians? The Food and Drug Administration? Who's responsible for those 60,000 deaths from drug abuse and getting addicted? Washington, D.C. can't even manage their 10 miles square, and they want to run around and control the rest of us? Wow. Rand Paul, doing a great job, says, add your support to my penny plan balanced budget. What's the penny plan? Well, if you spend a dollar normally, it's to say, hey, let's cut a penny and spend 99 cents. The opposite direction from the fake cuts that government usually talks about. They usually increase, and then when you talk them into increasing less than their intended increase, they act like they've cut, but they've really increased, right? Rand Paul's talking about a single penny, real, honest, mathematical cut to 99 cents, and he says it will balance the budget if we keep at it, and boy, it's not far enough, but it's a good start. He's having trouble even rallying support for such an idea, though. Sad to say, in America, we better cut taxes, we better cut spending, and we better stand for pro-life. March for Life, that's a wonderful organization, celebrates courageous birth mothers. What an honor. Trump to deliver the keynote to the Susan B. Anthony List annual Campaign for Life gala. Good for President Trump. Oklahoma passes law protecting Christian adoption agencies from discrimination. That's all phenomenal news. Three incredible pro-life headlines. And I mentioned that pro-life is one of the biggest keys if the Republicans want to do well. Wow. Donald Trump officially opens embassy in historic and sacred land of Jerusalem. They say it's another promise Donald Trump has kept. Jason Chapin, former congressman of Utah, said only Trump had the political guts to move Utah or the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. He's right about that. And, you know, it's something that Congress has mandated literally years and years ago, but no president's had the guts to carry out the congressional mandate. Trump did. So it isn't a matter if you believe we should be moving our embassies around in these foreign countries. I personally think oftentimes we better really be careful of those foreign entanglements. However, if the Congress has mandated it and it's the law, I think the president should carry it out. If we don't like that law, maybe we ought to talk about changing it. Huh? All right, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. It is still available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. If you want to donate, we would love it. The Widow's Mite Radio Network, running on a thin dime, could use every financial donation we can get. We don't need you to fund our families. We have day jobs, folks. But we would love it if you'd help grow our presence in the media. Every penny counts. Every penny helps. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio. And if you find our broadcasts of value, please reciprocate. Thank you very much. Secondarily, we have LibertyNewsRadio.com. Not only does it syndicate Liberty Roundtable Live, our talk show, but incredible talk shows around the clock. Check it out today, LibertyRoundtable.com and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available on demand. Today's broadcast starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. So it's kind of interesting. We've reported this Tesla crash in Utah, Kurt, right? And it turns out the lady, 28-year-old driver, says that Tesla was on autopilot and she was distracted.
Yep.
So yesterday I kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, hey, what does it really mean? Well, Tesla says if it's on autopilot, you still got to pay attention and you're still driving the car, Kurt.
That's right.
Now, what does that even mean, Kurt? It's on autopilot, but you're driving the car?
Well, it does make sense.
Does autopilot mean? Well, what it means is they don't want, there's laws that relate to when something's, you know, automatically driven versus a human driving. And what they don't want to do is run afoul of that because of the crash and have restrictions. So they're trying to play both sides of this, Kurt.
Yep. Good point. Yeah, and, you know, then the, at least I know that the, what's his name, Elon Musk and others, I guess, closely associated with Tesla, had basically a lot to say that imagine, you know, the fact that they say their vehicle was going like 60 miles an hour and rear-ended, you know, a pretty good-sized vehicle, and the occupant of the car only received a broken ankle. So their point is, why wouldn't the media point that out and say that look how safe this kind of car is, you know?
Well, and again, I'm glad that she only hurt her ankle, and I'm glad it wasn't worse. That's a blessing. And I do think the media should report that reality. I agree with them. However, that doesn't mean that it's safe. It just means it was a blessing, Kurt. It could have gone so wrong with the same crash. I wouldn't point to the safety there, would you?
Well, I think he has a point with it.
All right, let's talk about
yet,
it. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, we're talking about the Tesla vehicle that crashed in Utah. It was on autopilot, says the driver, going 60 miles an hour, slams into a government truck. And Musk and some of these guys are trying to point to the safety of the vehicle, Kurt. All right, we'll try to get Kurt back. I don't know. We probably had a little glitch in the audio here. He'll hopefully get that reset. meanwhile, though, they say Tesla was on autopilot. Now, I don't really understand when it's on autopilot. The driver says, I was distracted. You would think if it was on autopilot, you don't need to pay attention. That's what autopilot's supposed to be for. But Tesla wants you to believe, hey, it's on autopilot, but you're still supposed to totally pay attention. And I guess I just don't understand all that. What does autopilot mean then? And what's the value? If I have to pay attention all the time, I might as well just drive, right? Because it's going to falsely make me believe somehow that it's safe or whatever, right? Kind of weird stuff. Tesla in the news a lot with new technology. I guess Tesla's rolling out some pretty interesting devices in Puerto Rico as well. Some incredible battery technology that ought to help. Hopefully that will make a difference. They say that over 140 Tesla power packs are in Belgium, making a difference, balancing out their power grid. 50% of Americans say the next vehicle will be electric. How about autopilot? Think folks will be embracing autopilot anytime soon? So kind of strange, right? You with me yet, Kurt?
You know, Sam, when I look at the other headlines about Tesla,
stick with this issue about the car, though, so people understand. You're saying it points to the safety record, right?
Well, at least, I think the guy's got a point that if somebody gets in a crash with a stationary item, which is a pretty good-sized vehicle, apparently, in this crash, that car was stopped at a stoplight, as far as I understand, or the vehicle that was, larger. I'm trying to remember if it was a utility truck or what it was, but when I look at the details, the occupant of the car only had a broken ankle, and, at least in my opinion, if the makers of the car point to the fact that, hey, in this case, the occupant only got the broken ankle and at that rate of speed, then they would have a point that maybe their car's pretty safe in a crash. Now, I do agree that, it's kind of like the phrase cruise control. Cruise control, you kind of think, hey, it's on cruise control, I'll go get a sandwich, It's not that way. No car, I think, can really just manage the road itself. And I don't even expect, once they tell me it can manage the road itself, that I'll believe it. Artificial intelligence is kind of on its way, I guess.
Yeah, so there's a big difference, though, when we're talking about autopilot technology, whether that's safe or not, versus the safety standards of the vehicle that you're in. In other words, we're talking about two different topics, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Because you're saying that the framework of the car, the framework of the car, if it gets in a crash, is pretty safe, or, hey, this lady would have been pretty beat up slamming into a utility truck at 60 miles an hour when the truck is stationary. That's a pretty hard crash is the point, and I would agree. And the car's built to such standards to where she only broke an ankle. That's pretty dang good. I agree with that completely. However, let's not mix that up between saying that, hey, the autopilot's really safe technology. What I mean is that we got to not mix the two issues together. But I think your point's well taken. And I think it's true, and I think it ought to be pointed out. I agree with Tesla on that, but let's not think it's because of the autopilot technology. And I've mentioned for a long time that I'm just not convinced autopilot technology is as valuable as people think. I mean, I wish it were. But I see so many times that, man, you just don't have the information necessary, right?
Yeah, I guess it was a fire truck that they ran into.
All right, well, utility truck, fire truck, just a massive vehicle to slam into, I'll tell you that right now, right?
Yeah,
and it is true. I agree with that. That, hey, if you slam into one of those dudes going 60 miles per hour and all you do is hurt your ankle, that's pretty good. I mean, I got to give track record to the structural, integrity of the vehicle. And from that point, it's a very safe vehicle. The autopilot's the debate that I'm having or the discussion that I'm having. I didn't even know they had vehicles running around Utah streets on autopilot. Did you, Kurt?
Well, no.
Okay, so see, that to me alone is kind of a weird thing. You got 28-year-old drivers driving around in autopiloted vehicles in the state of Utah. Makes you wonder if you ought to drive outside or not, huh? Because they're already on the roads, already competing with you, Kurt.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing a new, kind of a new plan. I'm just going to drive inside from now on.
Oh, good idea.
Safe.
Good,
But it looks like Reuters is reporting Tesla's got a new bondholder.
Yeah, I don't even understand all this Tesla stuff. To me, it seems like a whole bunch of poppycock, personally. I don't see anything Tesla's delivered
George
that
Soros.
Makes any sense that's not super expensive and tied to liberal extremist causes, personally, but that's just me.
Yeah, George Soros is now taking a big stake in Tesla, so, you know, I mean...
Well, hey, Tesla George Soros saved the Donald, and now he's going to save old Tesla, right? Or Elon Musk.
He knows where to put money. I guess he took a $35 million stake in his thing called Soros Fund Management LLC, took a $35 million stake in convertible bonds of Tesla, which are due in March 2019. That's according to filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Convertibles, if you're like me, you might not know what they are, but it says they're hybrid securities. I thought convertibles were those kind of the roof kind of went back and stuff like that. But anyway,
I thought they were like chick magnets, Kurt, if we're going to just go with those kind of definitions. I thought convertibles were just chick magnets. That's all they were.
Good point. All right. But anyway, they say Soros is also a billionaire like Musk, and he's been Musk has been under pressure from investors to prove the company can solve production problems, stem senior staff departures, and resolve questions about crashes involving its electric cars.
Yeah, you just tell everybody it's safe. That's how you resolve the questions, Kurt. That's what you do. All right, I want to move off of Musk because I don't think the guy's delivering a whole lot of technologies that make much sense for me personally, but there you have it. Uh-huh. He's talked big about a lot of things, but nothing that I see that really comes to fruition, right? But Thomas Markle's in the news, Kurt. Do you know who this guy is?
Is this the something to do with the royal wedding?
Yeah, well, kind of. It's the father of Meghan Markle, who Meghan's going to marry Harry, and, you know.
Okay.
So Thomas, the father of Meghan, was supposed
really
to walk Meghan down the aisle, right, Kurt?
Okay, so, but they say he's AWOL?
Well, kind of.
Like
they said he was AWOL, then they said he had a heart attack, then they said he didn't want to do it because of the paparazzi and the media, and then they said he did want to do it, and then they said he had a heart attack and he wanted to, but he's in the hospital and he can't, and I don't know the real story. But there is one thing that I do know. Now, how did Diana die, Kurt?
In a car crash.
She was getting chased by the paparazzi, right, or whatever, and she died in a car crash, right? Now, Thomas Markle, this guy, I guess he was running from the paparazzi, Kurt.
Okay.
And I guess I don't really understand that running from the paparazzi thing. I mean, it's like what I tell my little kids. When my little kid's running around, I say, hey, you better slow down. You're going to fall and hit your mouth or get hurt. Settle down. My kid says, but she or he was chasing me, right? And I say to the little kid, you know what? If you don't run, they can't chase you.
Yeah.
Well, then they'll catch me. Okay. Then what? Why don't you come and see Dad? And when they catch you, then we'll just talk, right?
Right.
So my question for Markle, good old Thomas Markle and some of these people, after you've already had, relatives die from these chases, right? You would kind of think maybe that you shouldn't run from the paparazzi. What if Thomas just stopped? He had his armed guards around so the paparazzi doesn't, get too close or too abusive or whatever. And why doesn't he just say, hey, you people are trying to chase me. I'm not going to run from you. What do you want from me? And they're going to say, well, we want a photo. We want to ask you questions. We want to whatever. Fine. I'm going to stand right here. Take whatever photos you want. I'm willing to answer some questions and not others, or I'm not willing to answer any question. Okay. But you're going to quit chasing me, and I'm just going to stay right here until you guys are done. I don't understand this running from the paparazzi stuff. And I know some would say, Sam, it's just because you're not a rock star and you have no idea what it's like. Well, I'm sure they're correct on that. That doesn't mean that I understand it. When we come back, let's talk about that for a second. I think it's critical to understand. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. But here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So we're talking about Thomas Markle. I don't know if he's changed his mind on the wedding, whether he's going to do it or not, or whether he can or not, or based on a heart attack and health concerns, or based on his flip-flopping regarding the paparazzi. I don't even know, but I know this. The paparazzi can't chase you if you don't run. And I think that Mr. Markle, Thomas Markle should just stop and just say, yeah, what do you want? You guys haven't bugged me for my whole life. I'm not a popular person. I'm nobody. Just because my daughter is going to marry the prince and become a duchess in her own right, that has nothing to do with me. What do you want from me? Do you want my picture? Fine, take it. What do you want me to say? I'm going to, you know, walk my daughter down the aisle. I will if I'm healthy enough. Yes. What I'm saying is, Kurt, you answer most of their questions. Let them take whatever photos they want to. I'm not so sure that there's a whole lot here. And I think when you run from these people, you make it 10 times worse. And I've been attacked as a white supremacist, as a racist, as a hater, as all these things. I don't run from the press. I take them right on. Pretty soon they leave me the heck alone. And so I kind of don't understand it. I'm sure it's because I'm just not a popular guy and the media is not after me all the time. But I still don't quite understand. I honestly think if he just rejects the chase, if he just takes them on and just answers a couple of questions, pretty soon it's just not of interest kind of a thing. Now, I get if you're the prince, it's going to be of interest no matter what you do all the time. That's a different discussion from maybe the father of the bride, so to speak. And I would just mock the media a little bit. I'd say, hey, why are you guys bugging me? Why don't you guys go watch Father of the Bride a little bit? And, you know, maybe you ought to get a little entertainment, a little mellow out a little bit, back off a little bit, you know. And I don't understand exactly what's happening with this, but it almost is like they manufacture news, Kurt. Any other comments on this guy or this idea?
Well, you know, it's true when you said it's almost like they manufacture news, because I was listening for a few minutes yesterday on my way to set up the honey table or whatever. There was a guy substituting for Rush Limbaugh, and the guy's a I'm trying to remember his name, but he's a foreigner, you know, so he's not from the U.S. I can't remember if he's from Canada or if he is actually from, like, New Zealand or England or whatever, but he made a joke about how he said that Rush was on his way to go give full coverage to the royal wedding, you know, he'd be reporting from over there and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, and that's what a lot of the standard media would be doing, but I really doubt the Rush Limbaugh's doing that. But in this case, apparently this Mr. Markle had like a heart attack just, you know, I mean, within the last couple of weeks or whatever.
Yeah, because he freaked out running from the paparazzi and everything else, you know. The guy just needs to chill out a little bit, talk to the press and say, what do you want from me, people? Am I crazy on this, Kurt? I just think if you take on the press directly, pretty soon they kind of back down.
Yeah, I mean, at least we've seen that to be true in some cases. But anyway, at least for me, it's just one of those deals where I go like, so what?
Well, let me tell you the so what part then, if you want to know, Kurt.
All right.
The reason that they want to focus on the Tesla auto crash, and the reason they want to focus on the Thomas Markle story, is because they don't want to talk about this story. You ready? Looks like United States equipment and weapons were handed over to Al-Qaeda, Kurt. And remember, I've told you that we fund, train, and arm enemies around the world, and this is proof. You don't believe me, Fox is covering this story. So is MSNBC. So is all kinds of big news organizations. And it turns out that two U.S. programs aimed at, quote, arming moderate forces against ISIS, inadvertently put weapons, ammunition, etc., into the hands of Al-Qaeda, Syrian rebels who are trained and armed by the United States, gave at least a quarter of their weapons cash to Al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria earlier this week. The U.S. Central Command admitted on Friday. The admission from the Pentagon comes just days after government officials dismissed such reports as propaganda and said there was no evidence. So, Kurt, you have an example where I've been telling you this, that they've been arming, training, and funding Al-Qaeda and terrorists around the world. That's the United States with our tax dollars. They dismiss my claims as propaganda over there at the Pentagon. Now they're forced to admit that I've been correct all along. And, well, they did give weapons, ammunition, et cetera, to Al-Qaeda. And in the story, they admit that we've funded and trained. They've got two U.S. programs aimed at arming, quote, moderate forces against ISIS. What is a moderate force, Kurt, that turns over their weapons? They're called Syrian rebels, and they turn over their weapons to Al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria. Okay, the admission comes just days after the Pentagon dismissed such reports as propaganda and said that they had no evidence that the troops had defected with weapons, etc. So we train them, then they defect with their weapons, their cash, and their training to the enemy. And I report this, and then the Pentagon says, "Yeah, Sam, you're peddling propaganda." Now we back into the fact that it's absolutely the truth, Kurt. What do you say to them, apples? See, they'd rather talk about old Markle, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's a great point, Sam, and that's what, I mean, there's so many other things that are very, very important to real solutions, but they're not the, you know, kind of fake news, the paparazzi kind of stuff, standard media wants to get you all riled up about, you know?
I just find that interesting that they said I was, you know, just there was just propaganda, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
Now the
like
admission that I was right. So by the time we start to operate or arm drug cartels with Operation Fast and Furious just across our border. And then when we find out we're arming, training, and funding Syrian rebel terrorists, and that the troops are literally making a deal with the devil and giving their troops, Al-Qaeda troops funding and weapons and ammunition and everything else, you kind of go, man, our government's rogue, Kurt. Our government's just out of control. Now, there's good people in the government, and there's good people doing good things, but there are enough rogue elements to be a serious, serious problem. Well, it gets worse, Kurt. There's another bombshell released by the Tea Party. Did you see this one? Ready?
Okay.
The CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has been diverting literally millions and millions of tax dollars towards far left political campaigns. So it's agenda campaigns and political campaigns, and they've been diverting millions and millions of dollars. Now they got caught by a California legislator. So what do we do when this goes on? The Pentagon lies and says I'm peddling propaganda. They got caught. The CDC lies and takes your money for health and human services and to prevent disease. And then they spend it on political campaigns, backing liberal extremists. And then they run around and say, you know what? Facebook, they got snookered and Donald Trump in bed with whatever Analytica. They committed vote fraud and there's ties to the Russians. But now you find out that it's really the CDC that's been diverting millions of tax dollars towards these campaigns. And it turns out that the Pentagon is peddling, weapons and capabilities to Al-Qaeda. We're backing Al-Qaeda inadvertently, Kurt. Now, the question is, how inadvertent is it really if it happens over and over and over and over and over? I get a mistake. I don't get the mistake over and over and over with zero accountability. But don't worry, Barack Hussein Obama's White House lawyer got promoted 6 times, right, Kurt?
Well, it's a good point, Sam, and it's a sad situation, if you ask me. I was unaware of this.
It depends on your vantage point. If you love Obama and you love his attorney, you should be delighted that, this attorney got promoted 6 times. Is the attorney black, Kurt?
Well, I don't know, Sam, but the headline from WorldNet Daily is Obama's White House voyeur got promoted 6 times. It says an aide in the Obama White House.
What's a voyeur? Stunning. So it's not a lawyer, it's a voyeur?
It's a voyeur. It says stunningly got promotion after promotion after promotion, some half a dozen in all, while he was misusing government equipment to engage in criminal conduct while on government work time. This is according to a new report. Washington Watchdog Judicial Watch explained the egregious case circumstances.
Oh, so we're talking about a voyeur, like the sexual gratification through watching folks, kind of a voyeur?
That's the way I
All right, I saw the word, and it just didn't make any sense in the context for me, because I don't really, I didn't realize that Barack Hussein Obama had his own personal voyeurs, Kurt.
But anyway, apparently this was reported in what's called the Corruption Chronicles publication that Judicial Watch has. The organization reported eventually that William Mendoza was convicted of taping and photographing up women's skirts on government time.
Hang tight. So, more in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So you got this, Barack Hussein Obama, staff member that's a voyeur, you know, looking up women's dresses and stuff like this, filming it or whatever, promoted six times. Did they know this was the case when after he was promoted or before he was promoted, Kurt, or what?
Well, you know, it says in this WorldNet Daily piece that's sourced by a Judicial Watch report called Corruption Chronicles. It says while he was getting these, while he was taping and photographing these things on government time, or in other words, your tax dollar time, he was getting these numerous rapid promotions. It marks yet another case of a handsomely paid senior government employee behaving badly, Judicial Watch said. His downfall began when he was arrested for upskirt pictures and videos of random women on the escalators of the Washington, D.C. Metro. He started out as a special assistant in 2011 to the Department of Education. Yeah, if that department wasn't around, he wouldn't have done that. But anyway, 8 months later, he was the deputy director of the White House Initiative on Tribal Colleges and Universities. Yeah, I bet you didn't know we had one of those. In the report, it explains that weeks after that swift promotion, Mendoza was bumped up from deputy director of the White House Initiative on Tribal Colleges and Universities to the more prestigious executive director of the White House Initiative on American Indian and Native Alaskan Education, increasing his salary from $84,697 to $99,628, plus $24,130 locality pay, even though he remained in the same location. I'll tell you what, it's just a slush fund there. A year later, Mendoza received another promotion, hiking his taxpayer-funded salary from $99,628 to $102,949, plus another $24,934 locality pay. I've never heard of this locality pay. I've heard of the per diem and all that, but this is my first time hearing about that. The following year, Mendoza was promoted again, and his annual salary increased to $106,270, plus almost $26,000 for the locality.
So is this after they know that he's a pervert, Kurt?
Well, apparently, Sam, because it already
happened. So what are we
going to
do then?
At least,
are we going to invoke the Me Too movement? Are we going to just run Obama out on a rail?
I think Judicial Watch is doing what they can. By the time
so is WND, by the way. So are we.
Yes, good point. Judicial Watch reported that by the time Mendoza was forced to resign over his arrest for voyeuristic acts, he had risen to director of White House Initiative on American Indian and Native Alaskan Education, earning $140,892 per year and almost $28,000 in locality pay for living in the D.C. area. The corruption report said all the while Mendoza allegedly was violating Washington law, federal statutes and education department policies. He said Mendoza, while utilizing government smart trip, was taking or attempting to take photographs, video under the skirts of women with a type of smartphone while utilizing the Metro Transit system.
Yeah, and see, I don't even understand another how much you're going to be able to even metro. See in the first place with this stuff, Kurt.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying it's fine to do this. I'm just saying how much are you really going to see when women have, you know, slips on or other things?
But
I'm just saying the whole thing is goofy.
Well, I agree with that. But how long do you think he was given prison time?
Say? Oh, none.
Well, he was given, they say, 90 days in prison. So
in prison or jail?
Well, it says in prison. So I see. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we have accountability for those guys. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
All right. I guess Trump is now claiming, you mentioned that he probably saved a lot of money in building that embassy over there in Jerusalem, Kurt, or in Israel, I guess. And what, now Trump's, kind of crowing about how he saved a bunch of cash, huh, Kurt?
Well, I know it's, this is a CNN piece, so I believe the headline's not going to be that, positive for President Trump. But it is interesting to me that, I don't remember any president in the past claiming that he saved us money. At least I can't, in my lifetime remember any. And at least in this case, that's what he says. He says he saved almost, it's like, $999 million. It's $200,000 short of a billion on the U.S. Embassy. It wouldn't surprise me, Sam.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me either, but again, compared to what? See, I'm not so sure we have to have an embassy in Israel anyway. Do we have to have embassies everywhere? Do we need embassies in all these nations? How many embassies do we have anyway?
Oh, those are all questions I don't know, Sam. I mean, from what I can tell, it's the old choice A, choice B, choice C. In this case, there's nobody talking about, a whole lot less of this idea of intervention or whatever relations around the world they're just talking about. In this Jerusalem case, situation there in Israel was that the capital.
There are 294 U.S. embassies and consulates around the world, Kurt. Do we really need 294 consulates? Now, I understand, and choice C would be to even question if we have to have all these, right? They call it U.S. diplomatic presence. And I just kind of wonder how diplomatic it is when it's, there's violence resulting from this move, from us being there in the first place, with us picking sides with different nations. And, you got the U.S. diplomacy centers and countries around the world that don't have a U.S. ambassador. They say 44 of 188 ambassadorships around the world remain vacant right now. How many do we have to have of these? And I don't know the answer. And I'm not saying that we should have no diplomatic associations. But if we're not very careful, it becomes a foreign entanglement. We're forced to pick sides. It's kind of like trying to have one in Taiwan, for instance. Do we have one of those? I don't know. But I'm just saying it's a very interesting discussion. To say the least. So I'm glad he saved a bunch of money, Kurt. I would prefer that over saving no money. But I would kind of wonder in the first place, do we got to have all these? I mean, is it really great that we saved $1 billion? Or would it be better? How much do these embassies cost? In other words, $1 billion is how much of what, right? Any idea how much these things cost?
Well, I do think that you will agree that typically they just cost way too much. At least I was thinking back about the situation when the president found out how much we were going to spend on a on a new Air Force One, if I remember right. You know, it seemed like he did negotiations on that thing and basically saved a whole bunch of money as well.
And the takeaway is that the president's building things, doing things, and saving a lot of money in doing so because he's a lot more cost conscious than his predecessors. And boy, howdy, is that true. So I'm not, you know, debating Trump's claim or saying that it's not true. I'm glad we have somebody looking out for us, Kurt. Because you're right, in the past, I don't think we've had that, right?
Well, it just seems like in the past, whatever the bill was, we just pay it, you know. And
amen to that. Well,
at least in this case, I'm glad to have somebody that says, hey, you know, that's too much. We'll go somewhere else, like he did on the Air Force One thing. And
like Melania's doing and more. It looks like a little common sense in the White House, and we applaud it, ladies and gentlemen. Just because I bring up the question about the embassies and how involved we should be around the world, that doesn't mean that I don't back and support saving cash. I do. And I don't want the ideas to get mixed up, but I do want to highlight the other point that nobody else in the media that I can see is making at all. I guess there's a government school calling the cops, Kurt, on a little kid.
Let's see, a government school. Well, that's not a surprise, is it, right, Sam? This is the one with the Lego?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a surprise to me, Kurt. It's out of control.
Well, I mean, but, you know, it's kind of standard fare, isn't it? You know. School calls police on student who made gun with Legos. I mean, you got to have something for them to get a riled up about, right, Sam? And in this case, you know, here they are. I mean, you can see how dangerous those Legos are.
I'm glad, right, the cop, Sam, didn't think it was a real gun and take him out the second the cop got there. That's a good sign. You know what I mean? Because they could have thought that Lego gun was a real gun. It could have just went all kinds of wrong.
Yeah, good point. The headline from the Breitbart Boys. It's a very nice-looking Lego gun, I think. It's got multicolors, and I appreciate that. I mean, I'm kind of a fan of the whole Lego world. A.W.R. Hawkins is the author there, and school officials there in New Haven, Connecticut, called police on a student who made a gun out of Legos. And, you know, besides making it, guess what else he did, Sam?
He walked around and went, pow?
Well, pretty close. He pointed it at other students.
Darn right.
And, I mean, out of control. We never saw that when we were kids.
Government points real guns at people, Kurt, and then lies about it. So, I mean, I don't see what this guy's just kind of like a copycat Lego guy.
Yeah, good point. Fox 61 there reported that Will Clark, he's the coo of New Haven Public Schools, COO, what is that? Anyway, some big shot there. He defended the school's reaction to the construction of a Lego gun. He said school leaders and local police partners were able to investigate and resolve the issue internally with use of restorative practices. Appropriate steps were taken at the school level to ensure the safety of all students and to impress upon the students the seriousness of engaging in positive peer interactions while avoiding conduct that may pose risk or concern to others. All children need to feel safe and secure within the learning environment. We all have
a
role
question,
to play,
Kurt,
to make that happen.
What if the kid made a sex organ out of the Legos?
Well, that's okay, Sam.
That'd be applauded, wouldn't it, Kurt?
Of course. I mean, that's...
nothing like, safe sex education. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if you don't yank your kids out of the government school, I start to question your sanity. Just my humble opinion. Take it for what it's worth. It is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto in the Constitution, and doesn't say anything about government education. By the way, Ron Paul's trying to shut down the education department. He emailed me a big old email about it. I'll try to break it down for you one of these days here soon. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.